Today is the 16th of November 2018. I'm doing the Tremaine family, and this afternoon Simon is going to tell us the life and times of himself and his family. Thank you, Simon.
Thanks, Frank. I'm just going to start off from my early memories of my childhood when we grew up at 5 Willow Drive in Taranup, and we had a big park across the road and we had a creek. I was attending Taradale Primary School and Taradale Kindergarten, and my memories of that time are playing on that park a lot. We had a neighbour by the name of Paul Trow and my younger brother Mark, who I used to play a lot more with probably than Chris, and we always used to play cricket. I used to play a lot by myself as well. I was always throw the ball against the brick wall at Willow Drive and then bat it back with my cricket bat, or I'd be over on the park. There's a power line running across the middle of the park, which used to be my goalposts. And I'd always pretend I was playing in some all-black game. And with the cricketers, I'd always pretend I was one of the batsmen, Vivian Richards or something. And, you know, and I'd have scorecards and, you know, and everything like that. And as a young guy, we used to spend lots of time in the creek, eeling, fishing, walking under the road, so through the tunnels. And so you'd walk through and you'd scare all the fish out and they'd all come flying out and someone would be at the other end with the net to try and catch them. We used to have a shortcut through the back of Avon Terrace, which came out onto Church Road at the time. It's obviously all full of housing now, but that used to be a shortcut that we'd take on our way to school, to Taradale Primary. We used to have a fishbowl, and I'd put my eels in the fishbowl, and I remember my cousin staying in my room one time. I just couldn't work out what the smell was, and under the bed was my fishbowl of all the dead eels that had turned over. Yeah, I remember the Willow Drive environment was awesome, and we had a pool, we had a games room. I used to play with my army guys. I was big on imaginary things. I remember the 1978 All Blacks. Dad knew Brian Williams, so I'd obviously just started getting into my rugby and the All Blacks at that stage. So I would have been 10 years of age, and Dad sent my autograph book off to Brian Williams, and Brian Williams got the All Black team to sign it and sent it back. And I always remember when that arrived one day and being over, you know, just jumping up and down, and, you know, how excited I was. I remember all our neighbours, we used to sell raffle tickets. I'd make up a raffle and we'd go and sell them for $2 or whatever, and then we'd have a draw. And I'd make my profit out of it, and we'd go and give the neighbours, Mrs. McGill, Mrs. Griffiths, and the Trowels were at the back, obviously, Mrs. McRobbie, you know, and then, you know, a couple of other older people as well that lived along there.
So you're an entrepreneur salesperson those days?
A little bit. I told Edu, my son, that story a couple of years ago. Next thing, him and his friend Sophie were out knocking on our neighbourhood, pretending they were selling tickets on behalf of West Shore School and pocketing the money. So we had to give them a bit of a stern talking to at that stage. I was always a mad sportsman, and, you know, I was always pretty good at rugby and cricket. I remember scoring 7 tries one Saturday, and it's in the poker, Kel Tremaine's son scored 7 tries. So, you know, when you're the son of Kel Tremaine, you're always, whenever it was talked about, you were son of Kel Tremaine. Yes. Of course, I was also son of Pam Tremaine.
And you were known as son of, weren't you?
Yeah, well, actually, that happened when I made the New Zealand Secondary Schools. Okay. That was quite a bit later, when I was 18. I made the New Zealand Secondary Schools team, and they adopted me as son of then. A guy, Errol Brain, named me son of, and the name was picked up pretty quickly by my other friends. So I was used to have Olympic Games, and so with Mark and Paul Trow and myself and anyone else we could find, and we'd set up all these different things that we had to do as part of the Olympics. And, you know, one would be a marathon, which would run to the clock tower and back and do 100 metre sprints, and, you know, all those, throwing the javelin and, you know, anything. And then we'd make gold medals and silver medals and bronze medals. So, of course, I think I was always winning. That was why I used to like playing these games. I was slightly older than those boys. I remember going to Taradale Intermediate. And we used to bike to primary, and we used to bike to Taradale Intermediate. At Taradale Intermediate, I was head boy on that second year, and I played Ross Shield rugby in both those years. So it was Form 1 and Form 2 back in those days. And I remember we used to have a couple of girlfriends. They used to bike round to see us. So we were quite young there, weren't we, having girlfriends? But I remember a girlfriend, Tony Gray, and another one, Nikki Smith. And Mark Johnson became a very good friend of mine at Taradale Intermediate. He came in the second year we were there.
Who was the principal those days?
Ted Walker was the principal of Taradale Primary, and Jock Morris, principal of Taradale Intermediate. Yeah, I remember, like, bowling for Taradale Intermediate. I took 7 for 9 one day and 6 for 8 another day. So I was in those age grade Hawke's Bay sort of teams at the time, and most of the Heriworth boys were in the Hawke's Bay team. The young guy, David Lachlan, yeah, he was actually the son of Maxie Lachlan, who played in the Renfrew Shield with Dad. He was in those teams with me. Yeah, so it was good family times. We used to always go to Waipariki Beach for summer. We always used to drive up to Auckland in the May and September school holidays. Mum and Dad would pick us in the holiday, and up we'd go to Auckland to stay with our cousins. And we had girl cousins. So Mum's brother, Uncle Brian, and his wife, Papi, who was very good friends of Mum right through the years, we'd go and stay at their house in Hillsborough, I think it was. There was the name of that road. And they had Lee and Briar, who were the cousins there, and then we'd go and stay with Dad's brother, Graham. Graham and Jenny and his daughters, Lee and Rosalind. And then we'd obviously also stay with our grandmother and grandfather over on Northcote, and our grandmother and grandfather, Sid and Mildred, and St Heliers and Elsie and Bert over there. So that was sort of growing up. Always remember Mum and Dad, always been awesome parents, both sides. Dad used to enjoy, he'd always go to the rugby on the Saturday. I'd always go and watch Napier Old Boys, so I'd always tag along with him. He'd go to the club rooms, he'd have a few beers, we'd be playing outside on the park, just kicking the ball around, and you know.
Very much a very tight family.
Yeah, no, we were pretty tight, given you know, the difference in ages of all the kids and things. But I know my granddad and my grandma, they never had a car. So that's why they always would be traveling by bus. Yes. Bus and boat. Yeah, catch the ferry across to the city.
Pam told me about taking you three across to Havelock to visit Margaret Wall. She used to have to take a bus.
I don't think much has changed these days. They used to go and see the Walls on a Sunday, or the Plesteds on a Sunday, and they'd drink during the afternoon, and we'd play in the pool and, you know, do what kids do, our kids do now, and then they'd drive home, and after they've had a few, well, you know, that's pretty much what we do now. On Sundays we hang out with our friends, or we go to Waipariki Beach, and nothing really changes, right? Everyone loves Hawke's Bay, and you come back and you bring your family up here. All our kids are going to the same schools we went to, and I went to the Napier Boys, and, you know, so I had 5 years there, and, you know, my really good friend at Napier Boys was a guy, Simon Kerr, who I met at the Ross Shield tournament in Waipak when I was at Tararua Intermediates in that form 2 year, and he made the Hawke's Bay team, Hawke's Bay Ross Shield team, which I made. I always remember going and playing for Hawke's Bay versus Waikato and Taupo the day of the flower bomb test, and when Gary Knight was hit on the head by one of the protesters of the Springbok tour in 1981. So I missed the test, and all the family had gone up, so I was pretty upset about that, but obviously I enjoyed playing for Hawke's Bay Ross Shield team. So I met Simon Kerr then, and we became great mates at Napier Boys.
He's still around Napier, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Simon's here, still here. Mark Johnson's still here. So those two guys were my, and Craig Sidorek. So Craig Sidorek was a good friend of mine at Tararua Primary. As was Paul Campbell. They're both here still. Yes. Craig Sidorek's still a really good friend of mine. I don't see Paul Campbell that much, PC, these days. But whenever we catch up, we're, you know, as if it was only yesterday.
That's right.
And Tararua Primary, and I remember Louise Wilson was the girl, all the boys, and that was his sort of girlfriend. I remember holding her hand one day in the line when he wasn't there, and just little things like that. And Louise Wilson actually became a girlfriend of Mark Johnson's when he was at Tararua High School. And Craig Sidorek went to Tararua High School. But even though Simon and I were Napier Boys, and Fraser Holland obviously as well, I knew Fraser from the beach, and obviously he went to Napier Boys, and he was in the same year as we were. We were a very tight group of friends from very early on, and we made good friends with the Napier girls. Sure. Anna Fitzgerald and Robin Mackay and Jane Fullerton Smith and Sarah Twyford. Sure. And Sarah and Mark Johnson, they're married today. So yeah, so we'd lots of good friends growing up. We enjoyed good success with the first 15. One of my greatest claims to fame was I made the first 15 in the fifth form, same as Simon Kerr, so as a 16-year-old. But I made the Hawke's Bay secondary schools that year as well. And I probably, to be fair, I think they put me in because they thought I had a bit of promise, but I probably wasn't really big enough to be playing in that team at that time. Sure. And there's all the Te Ati guys. The Te Ati team was the top team in New Zealand in that year. Well, that was 1984. I was in the Hawke's Bay secondary schools with all those boys. And in 1983, Simon Kerr and I went to Australia with the school first 11. So we're only fourth formers, and we're in the school first 11 cricket team. Mm-hmm. In 1984, we went to Canada and the United States with Chris was on the team too. He was obviously seventh form, I was fifth form. We went on that trip for a month over there, which was awesome. I always remember one of the stories. We were doing pumpkin picking. We were trying to raise money to go on the tour to Canada. And this guy goes, "How do you like your beers?" This is because he was talking to school kids. He goes, "I like your beers. You like them cold? You like them fucking cold." always remember that. We thought that was great. We said we liked the fucking gold. But yeah, there's lots of little stories that come up, and I don't know how in depth you want to get about that.
Well,
but you know,
this is reminiscing. Anything that is funny or involves you as a person, your family, we'll have those.
Yeah. Yeah, so like as far as growing up with Mark and Chris, two good brothers, and you know, I think Chris used to pick on me a little bit, and I remember Mum, once I got big enough and we had this fight in the dining room once, and Chris was maybe 18 and I was 16, and then she ended up throwing water on us because it got a little bit out of control. I used to grab Mark and sit on him, and you know, so I feel like that's just what you did as boys, right? So never anything too malicious that I can remember. Chris took my tooth out in the back of a car one time, but again, not intentionally. He sort of elbowed me and I had a broken tooth anyway. Alan McIndoe from Tarata Primary took my tooth out. I had the cricket ball and he hit another ball at me when I already had one, so I caught the second ball, but the first ball went through and smashed my tooth out. I always remember Guy Warwick Kane telling me that. I said, "You bastard." I don't actually remember saying that, but he always said to me, "You bastard." But so I went to Otago University. Always remember leaving here on the train, and it was almost like it was our ticket to freedom, because Mum and Dad would never let us go out while we're under the roof any later than midnight. Or it might have even been 11:30. We always had to be home, right? And I'd always go, "Oh, but my friends are allowed out," and run around. Mum would say, "Well, that's fine, you're not." Then when you go to university, you're a free man. You can do what you like, right? And it was awesome. I had a girlfriend, Jo Ross, from Colenso High School, and she went down to Otago, but that relationship didn't last too long down in Otago. And I got into a place called Selwyn College. It's a hostel down there. And Mark Johnson was in Selwyn College. Simon Kerr was in Selwyn College. Fraser Holland was in Selwyn College. So the whole gang was there. And again, played rugby down there. Played for the University of the 21s, also played for the New Zealand under 19 team that year against Wales. We had an Otago under 19 team that played them as well. I was captain of that and we beat them. The year after, so my second year at university, I made the New Zealand Universities team and we went on a tour to France for the University's Rugby World Cup, which was amazing. I think I must have been the youngest in the team, but still got some good friendships from that tour with those guys. And you see them around and everyone always recollects that tour. It was fantastic. Mum and Dad used to come down to Dunedin and I remember them sleeping in my flat one time. I said, "I'm just going to stay at the flat because all my flatmates had gone home for the school holidays." And it was actually when I was playing, I think, for the South Island Universities. And Mum and Dad hopped on the bed and it just collapsed in the middle, right? So they decided to go to a motel. And Dad, I think, you know, gave me a whole trailer of firewood because we were feeding the neighbour's fence onto the fire. So Otago was great. Lots of fun times down there. Made lots of lifetime friends. Made the Otago team in my second year. And then my third year, I was more regular. But there was a lot of loose forwards. Good loose forwards. Aaron Penne, Jamie Joseph, Mike Brewer, Brent Pope, Paul Henderson. And in those days, they never used to bring the subs on. So I did a lot of time sitting on the reserve bench. Got a few games. I think I played like 6 or maybe 8 games for Otago. Not a lot, over 2 years. But when I went to the Rugby World Cup, Laurie Maines, the coach, wasn't very happy that the university guys went on that trip. He felt we should have stayed back and played for Otago. But we were never going to do that. We're always going to go on the trip, you know, the tour. So I left Otago with a commerce degree. I got a job in Auckland and I got a job in Wellington. So I was either going to go to Auckland and play for North Harbour or I was going to go to Wellington and play for Wellington. So I ended up taking the Wellington option, and mainly because a guy, one of the local clubs, Western Suburbs, got me on a trip to play sevens in Bahrain with Eric Rush and his mates, Lindsay Rucky and all those guys. So I went on lots of sevens trips with those guys. We were called the Mongrels. It was before the World Series sevens took play. I just about made the New Zealand sevens team in my last year at Otago. I was on standby actually. Scored a couple of tries and had a great tournament, but it was only one team in those days and only 9 players were selected. So yeah. And they used to take the best All Blacks as well. Yes, the likes of Zinzan Brock and, you know, Jonah Lomu. I played in a sevens tournament with Jonah in Singapore as part of that team of Eric Rush's. But went to Wellington, had 3 great years in Wellington. Western Suburbs I played for. I bought a house there in the Tai Tai. Dad came down one time and we bought a house over in Northland. I can't remember what the name of the suburb is. It's too far out of town. But Dad and I worked 50-50 in that. And I worked for BNZ in their foreign exchange department. So I ended up trading the Japanese yen, and I always remember, I think I started on 30 grand, then I was increased to 40 grand. I remember telling my uncle Brian, he was manager of the ASB Bank somewhere in Auckland, and he reckons I was on the same money as him, and he was not happy. He was not happy at all. And then I didn't even really understand it, but you used to get a 10 grand bonus every 6 months. So back in those days, there's a lot of money for a young kid. And then, of course, you know, the massive travesty happened when our dad died in 1992, May the 2nd. And we were given a week's notice, being advised that dad was going to die. So we came home from Wellington. I remember leaving work on the Friday and just heading home. I couldn't play rugby at the time. I'd hurt my back in a game. And so I didn't have rugby on the Saturday. And I just went home, I just left the office and got home, and mum told me as I hopped in the car at the airport, I ran up the stairs crying and seen dad in bed, and he was on oxygen and on a tank for about a week, and then he died. I used to shower him every day, and he wouldn't let anyone, you know, he wanted Simon to look after him and shower him, which was, you know, he's obviously just trying to keep his privacy and dignity and that, you know, and it was a terrible time to lose your father at that age. But yeah, I always remember when I first went to Wellington, this is the story I was going to say, that I couldn't decide if I wanted to go to Wellington or I wanted to go, no, I was going to go back to Dunedin. I started a job, and like working versus being at university, it was like poles apart. And I rang up mum and dad one time and said, well, I want to go back to Dunedin. And then I remember saying, no, I'm going to stay in Wellington. And I remember saying, go back to Dunedin. But they said, just do what you bloody like, but make a decision. Right? Yes. And I ended up staying in Wellington, thankfully. Anyway, dad died, Chris came back immediately. And Chris and mum tried to get the business re-established. And then 6 months later, they said, I better come home as well. And so I came home and I was the marketing manager for a period of time. Used to just take photos of the houses and give some scripts. And we used to have column centimetres in the paper. And we used to have 8x2s and 10x1s and all that sort of stuff, Frankie, that you remember well. I had a long-term girlfriend at the time, and a girl by the name of Benita Higgins. So she was always the love of my life for a long time, but we ended up splitting up at one stage. I can't remember exactly when that was, but it was sort of over the holidays. I'd come back to Hawke's Bay, played for Hawke's Bay in 93. I played for the Wellington rugby team for 3 years down there, played 38 games for Wellington, and I played 13 games for the Magpies. And one of those was against the British Lions when we beat them, and I scored the winning try, which has always been a bit of a highlight. Split up with Benita, end of 93, start of 94, and Alex Wiley and Greg Halford were looking for a loose forward to go and play in South Africa. So we went over to Port Elizabeth and played for the province there called Eastern Province. And I remember, again, the highlight of that, I played against England for Eastern Province, and there was a big fight with Tim Rodber, and him and I got ordered off the field. So that was not the highlight, but it was the thing I was most well known for over there. Came back in at the end of 94, got back with Benita, had met a young girl called Hester Cornelia Fisser, Hetty Fisser, when I was over there, but nothing had gone down at all. I don't think she's that keen on all the Kiwi antics that we were up to. Got back with Benita at the end of 94, but split up with her again in early 95. And yeah, it was early 95. And went back to South Africa with the 95 Rugby World Cup. Younger brother Mark and I took a bus over there. Not too sure why Chris didn't come. Maybe he just had to stay back and look after the business. Yes, I think. Yeah. So Mark and I took the bus, though. Chris came over for about 10 days, actually. Anyway, on that trip, I rung up Hetty's friend Conrad and said, Conrad, come out for a beer in Pretoria, but make sure you bring Hetty with you. So she came out for the beer, and that night we hit it off, and from that day on, some miraculous way, she came out. We spent another couple of, I took her out for dinner one night and spent a couple of days with her, and then said, why don't you come back to New Zealand for summer? Now, you know, for a young girl to come to New Zealand for summer and be allowed to go, her father let her go because he'd been to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, and he let her go on the sticky tour to Australia, and she came out to New Zealand for the summer. And I remember crying when she flew home and thought, I wonder if I'm ever going to see her again. But I ended up going and seeing her that Easter in South Africa and met her family. And then in that June, we met in Malaysia in a place called Penang. And we basically just decided it was either all on or all off. It was too far to have a relationship. And I asked her to marry me and ring her parents, and we decided we'd get married. And that was 96. We had our engagement party at the end of 96 in New Zealand. So she came out for summer again. And then we got married at the end of 97. Yesterday was 21 years married. Yeah. And if I talk about my life from then till now, you know, I obviously came back, went into the business. And yeah, it's a lot about the business. It's a lot about Hetty. She came back and she's a medical student. So she came back to New Zealand, and Dennis Atkinson, I remember, helped us get her a job in that first, I can't remember what it's called, your first year out of university. You have to do your first year and then you become a qualified doctor. and you have to do so many years at the hospital, and she'd work at the hospital and she'd do night shifts, and we had lots of fun times before we decided to have babies. And we had our first baby, a Nook, just after I'd had my back operation. And Nook's 15 today, so 2018 we are, so it was 2003 when we, so 97 to 2003 had our first baby, went on a couple of awesome trips to Europe and to the Greek Isles with Fraser and Nick and Mark and Sarah and Andy and Pip. We had a boat, we did the Greek Isles, and so we had lots of the little overseas trips and things, and the company just kept on ticking on, didn't it? And Chris went into Parliament in 2005, I think, and we had an agreement that if he stayed in Parliament for longer than two terms, I would buy him out. And obviously the global financial crisis came along in 2008, March 2008, and we went through a couple of pretty lean years. But I don't even remember them being that bad, right? Even though the market was crap, we weren't making much money, but, you know, we still ticked over, and, you know, we still did all right, and we still bought some buildings, and I still had my beautiful house at Whakariri, and I built my batch out of Waipariki, so we must have been doing all right, you know? We must have been doing all right. I think we made some pretty good money in 05 and 06 when Chris first went into Parliament. And then I bought Chris out of the business with a plan in mind, though. I didn't just buy him out, to sell the shares to other people within the business. I bought Chris's shares and I sold them to Fraser Holland, who had come in and was general manager of Tremaine's. I sold them to Jude Miner, who had come in and was running Colliers for me. And I think I sold them to Cam at the same time as well. But Cam Ward, his arrival on the scene, a young guy, very aggressive, yeah, he became the top seller of real estate for commercial in New Zealand 2 years running. So to do that out of Hawke's Bay, pretty amazing. And he had these massive visions of growth and all these things. And I always remember his numbers, and those are the absolute bullshit. Right, and where we could get to, our market share goals. Remember, we signed the agreement, and we're at Simon Kerr's Providor. We signed the agreement, and I can't remember why, but he screwed it up, and I lit it on fire. Right, that was the end of the agreement. Right, we took on Colliers in 2004. We took on Sotheby's in 2012. Cam and I and Fraser and Jude did the deal in 2010, I think, with Chris. No, Cam came into the business in 2010. We might have done the deal in 2012, just as we were getting Sotheby's underway. And Chris was out of Parliament, I think, in 2014. But Cam's drive, you know, basically Sotheby's was an option. I had the option, they were friends of mine. Cam drove me to go and do that. Cam turned Colliers into the big business in Hawke's Bay. And Cam drove me to expand out of the area, which, you know, we've really only just... We did Taupo with Sotheby's 2 years ago, started in 2016. Yeah, we're done 16, 17, 18 now. And we've only just now gone into Tauranga and Wairarapa and Rotorua. We did Rotorua 12 months ago. We're putting Tremaine's into Rotorua on the 1st of December. Okay. As a Tremaine's brand, yeah. In Rotorua, we've got a Tremaine's brand now in Taupo and a Sotheby's brand in Taupo. We've got Sotheby's in Wairarapa. And in Rotorua, we'll have Colliers Rural. We've got Colliers in Taupo. We've got Colliers Rural, Tremaine's and Sotheby's in Rotorua. And Colliers Rural, Tremaine's and Sotheby's in Tauranga.
No wonder you have to have all the staff around.
Oh, I know, it's ridiculous. I don't even know how many people we employ now, but I think it's over 400. It's quite a lot, yeah. It's ridiculous. Got four beautiful kids. As I said to Hedy, I love hanging out with my friends. I enjoy work, but I would spend every day of the year if I could with her and my four kids. Right? And we've been on some amazing trips together. 5 years ago, we went to South America for 3 months on the back of the South African trip. 2 years ago, we went to Europe. And this year we're going to South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Mozambique for 7 weeks.
Wonderful.
And yeah, being able to spend every minute of every day with your family is awesome. Yeah. You know, I always sort of said, okay, if I woke up tomorrow and I was told I wasn't going to be around any longer, what would I wish I'd done differently? I don't think I could have really done too much differently. I'm pretty happy with what I've done to date. My family, I love those kids like we all do. It's amazing that bond from parent to child. I love my mum and dad, absolutely, but I love the bond. Yes. I'm sure they love me more than I love them, sort of thing, because you go and you have your own family, don't you?
Yes.
You know, and it's that bond from the parent to the child. You know, they'll love their children more than they love me, right? Mm. That's just how it is.
Simon, I'm privileged in some ways because I've seen the way you treated staff as family. It wasn't just about your family. The whole company, and this was Kel and Pam and you and Chris, it was always hard to explain the generosity, the trust, the socialising support. You don't get that in every company.
I think we've found that when we've gone out of the region. You know, it's amazing how people just are attracted to our brand, you know, and the fact that we're genuine, we have a genuine interest in caring people and their families, right? And I've always sort of, if someone works for you, right, I've always felt that was a bit of a debt I had to them, because they're actually working for us, and so we actually owe them to look after them, and, you know, that's how I feel anyway.
And, you know, we were proud of the Tremaine brand,
yeah.
And there was a point where we were very disappointed where Tremaine was being overshadowed by professionals, but eventually it came back.
Yeah, Chris and I decided to rebrand back to Tremaine.
Yes.
You know? I've been very lucky with both my brothers. We're all a little bit different, right?
Yes.
But, you know, both my brothers have been massive supporters and confidence, and we've always been able to talk things through. Every family has got little issues, and money's always, you know, money's the evil of everything, isn't it, you know? But I think we've managed to get through that sort of stuff. Mum is the unsung hero, without a doubt, you know? Mum's amazing, and I do think, you know, daughter-in-laws and mothers have this funny relationship, right? And, you know, boys and their mums, we just want to look after our mums. We love our mums. We don't see anything. Our mums are perfect in our eyes. Mm. But, you know, it is hard when you've got your wife and your family and your mum, right? And that relationship, and that's probably one of the most difficult things, I think, life hits. You know, I talk to a lot of people about their mother-in-laws and that. But a lot of people have issues, right? Which is really sad, I think. Mm. But I've always believed something is there for a reason, right? And something happens for a reason. And it's almost like, I reckon that's there because they're trying to say, well, you know, you got your family, but, you know, who's looking after my mum when she's by herself and, you know, she doesn't have dad any longer, and, you know, it's hard. But, like, you know, mum is awesome mum. You know, if I was at work at the freezing work, she'd be up at 5 o'clock in the morning making sure I had lunch for the day and setting the standards. Like, dad always set the standards, mum always lived by the standards, and, you know, trying to make sure that us boys were raised with the same standards. Always Chris used to say to me, well, what would Dad think of that? What would Mum think of that?
Sure.
And I'd go, yep, I know the answer.
The other thing is your family contribution to the community. And I'm talking about your involvement with Napier City, Hastings, sports groups, everything. That's been an ongoing part of your
life. I just think it's part of being and working in the community, isn't it?
Doesn't always happen.
It doesn't. And I was actually reading an article about the guy who's the head of Amazon. You know, he's the richest guy in the world, right? He doesn't do anything like that. Whereas Bill Gates gives, pretty much he's committed to give his entire fortune back to charity. You know, quite amazing.
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, anyone that works and lives in a city and then runs a business in a town and a community owes to give back. You know, you've got to give back. And we've done lots of things in different ways. And, you know, I think we can stand tall and feel that we are part of the community. You know, people, I think when they talk of Tremaine's, Hawke's Bay people, it's a warm fuzzy, you know, there's people like Tremaine's.
Recently, with the advent of the supermarket, carry bags. You remember the carry bags we
gave? Oh, yeah, we are. We gave those out as presents.
I'm surprised how many of them
still
were
out.
That was a great idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea. We should have kept doing it.
So, Simon, for the future, where do you see yourself? Well, I suppose you've got to grow these children and send them off to university.
Yeah, well, I've got Anox 15. Yes. She's a beautiful young girl. Yeah, she's got an amazing future ahead of her. She can talk to anyone. She's not going to be a scientist. I think she'd be great in the sales industry. I think she'd be great in our business. But you can't push her anyway. She's just great with people. Edu, yeah, he's a bit of a brain box. Probably could do anything he wanted. And they used to sort of say that Simon probably could have done anything he wanted to, but he was just a little bit lazy. And actually, what happens in your life pushes you into different directions. But Edu, I think, is pretty keen to get into the business too. He can see what property deals do, and he thinks that it could be a good way to make some money. And Mala, my darling little 11-year-old, she is going to be a vet, without a doubt. So she loves her animals, and she's arty-farty, and she's going to Woodford this year, so that'll be interesting. You know, she gets hurt pretty easily, and, you know, girls can be a little bit mean sometimes, so we'll see how she goes in that next stage of her life. And young Cully, who's 9, again, he's amazing. I mean, the fourth kid always seems to pick up things a lot, you know. He seems very smart, and he's got a really strong heart. When he plays rugby, he just goes non-stop the whole time. So I think he could be, both you and him, play good rugby, and I don't know, Cully could be anything, so yeah.
Okay, well, I think we've probably just about covered most things.
Can I think
you
so.
Think of anything that you haven't told me?
No, I don't think so. Like, you know, I've just been lucky that I've been married. It's tough. You know, you got to get through the ups and downs, and I always remember when I told her I was getting married, Mum basically said something like, good luck. right? You know, it's hard enough marrying someone up the road than someone from halfway around the world. But you imagine the experiences that I've had by being married to someone in South Africa their family and their culture and, you know, it's been an absolute massive addition to my life and my kids' lives. Yeah. And Hetty has been amazing. Yeah, she gave up her whole life for me. She reminds me of it, of course. That is the truth. That's what she did. Yeah. And, you know, she's been an amazing wife. Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, Simon, thank you very much for the interview. This is important for Hawke's Bay and your family. And also, thank you for the contribution you've made to Hawke's Bay. So, thanks again, and have a happy Christmas. Are you going to be in South Africa?
We're in South Africa, yes. Thanks, Frankie.
Okay.
Enjoyed it.